Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds. Lawrence?
Whose chair is so squeaky?
There's only four choices!
What voices?
Oh, yeah, you're absolutely 1,000% now my favorite nephew.
This is Daytime Batman. We ain't never got this before.
Hey, welcome back to the Brotherhood of Batman, also known as, I think I'm turning Japanese. I'm Aaron. I'm the oldest out of us. I produce this mess. Thanks for tuning back in.
I'm a little surprised that that wasn't the theme song for this episode.
I had already had this one made a while ago.
That makes sense. I'm Jake. I'm the middle brother. I'm the one that came up with the crazy list of comics that we read through each week.
Konnichiwa. Hi, I'm Ben, the baby brother, your sunshine into Gotham, the world traveler, and I have returned to the podcast, and this is a podcast where three brothers talk about Batman and the DC universe and comic books and nerd things and just have an excuse to get together and chit-chat.
I think he was pausing for applause that never came.
Oh, yeah, I think he was. Yeah.
Oh, they'll come when people listen. applause. So I'm going to tell you all about my journeys, but first, go ahead and talk about whatever you all want to talk about first.
Your geeky little lives?
Yes.
Stop talking about comic books or I'll
What do you think you're doing, nerd?
Stop spending
Get the
nerd!
Nerd!
Nerd! Or I swear to God you're gonna spend your 20 years alone.
Geek.
I mean, I'm the Batman of geeks, bitch.
Yeah, I will just, I'll just give you my time. I don't really have anything major that's happened lately.
You ceased to exist for 2 weeks.
Great. I mean, normal level of Jake
normal
geekiness.
Parenting, family life. I got my car back, and then I spent $1,000 on new tires because the insurance would only cover the cost of half of the replacement tire because of the wear. And then when you can't have one tire brand new and three others like at 50%. So I spent like $1,000 on tires this week. So
was one jacked up from the actual accident?
Uh-huh. So I'm going to try to send them the bill. Maybe I can get like half of it back or something.
Hopefully.
Because I had not planned on buying tires. And so you know, that's fun life. So, yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah, kind of sucks. So that's part of it. I'll yield the rest of my time so that this is not a two-hour layover stop.
I did see the Paw Patrol movie yesterday.
Oh, how was that?
You know, it's the Paw Patrol movie, so as a 40-year-old parent, you go in knowing what you're going to get. There's a few moments that are written for the parents in the theater, and they're good chuckles. There's a couple inside jokes about that. So the Paw Patrol gets superpowers.
And they make it you.
They make an inside joke about all new outfits, all new vehicles, and then they look at the camera, go, "Sorry, parents, new merch too." And I'm like, hey, you assholes. But going with Bat Baby, who is a Paw Patrol addict, and watching him experience the build-up to a movie that he's excited about is definitely something that I'm familiar with and was really excited to enjoy with him. And go and, like, I mean, his eyes were just glued on the screen the whole time. He leaned over a couple times to ask about when the parts of the trailer were going to happen, because he's watched the trailer a dozen times.
Nice. That's cute.
So it was a lot of fun for that. He also ate a bucket the size of him in popcorn.
I think that's a requirement when you go to the theater to eat your weight in popcorn.
Yeah, his face was just greasy and grinning by the end of the movie.
Oh,
well,
that's awesome.
That
that's
was
awesome.
Fun. That,
Your wife posted a picture of him in front of the sign, and he looked so happy.
Yeah. He was pretty excited.
That's pretty awesome. Yeah. The boys and I watched a Cocaine Bear. Have you seen that
yes,
one?
Yes, that one's fun.
Slightly different.
Yeah, slightly different.
Different kind of animal with superpowers.
Yeah, pretty much.
But no, I think his grandfather is taking him and his cousin again, possibly this week, to see it again. So he's already going to, you know, he's going to get that multiple trip to the movie theater thing. Hopefully he's old enough to remember some of this, because I remember doing that with some of my favorite movies as a kid. So.
What do you remember going and re-seeing as a kid?
I think I saw Jurassic Park a couple times.
You were significantly older than four at that point.
I know, yes.
Old bitch.
Wow.
Okay, Ben, go ahead.
All right.
No. I am excited to hear how many times you see that movie in the next 2 years.
Well, I mean, the first question when we left was, why can't we buy it yet? So it'll be quite a few times.
That's a valid thing for his age, and also the world we live in now with streaming and everything. It would be... If he hasn't seen a lot in theaters, it's not necessarily used to waiting.
Yeah, yeah. He's definitely... This isn't the first movie he's seen in the theaters, but it's the first one that he was looking forward to, and he knew there was a date where he could go see it. And so the connection of, oh, well, all the movies I've watched so far have just been put on whenever I've been in attendance.
Right.
And this is the first thing I had to wait for in the buildup. Mm. And, yeah.
Hopefully it comes to streaming soon, so you don't have to take him to the theater another 7 times.
Yeah.
The theater we went to, it was opening weekend. They had it playing at like every hour or so, but it was only like half full on a Saturday afternoon. So I don't think it's gonna be in the theater for terribly long. So.
Yeah, that's fired.
It's Paw Patrol.
Yeah.
they have made enough money.
I'm sure they have. I'm sure they've made more than they need to, probably, but maybe not. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Ben.
All right.
Hi. So I went to Japan and had the nerdiest best time ever. Country was beautiful. It was the most aesthetically pleasing 2 weeks of my life. When we were in the city, it was just like shiny and gorgeous. And then we were in like the smaller towns. There's like the traditional buildings, and that was gorgeous. Everything is cute. Everything is like happy and clean. It was, and then I got back to Canada. I was like, this trash. So I brought some
America's
presents.
Does not like that.
I brought some presents. There's a thing in Japan called gacha machines, which if you think to when we were kids, you go in the grocery store and in the front of the store, there's that little like vending machine thing that has little balls with little toys in it.
Mm. Yeah.
They're obsessed with them over in Japan. And there are entire buildings of those machines, all themed different things. And it's like child casinos. So you've got those in the front of the building. No, literally like flashing lights, and like you can exchange your yen for coins to buy different things. And then in the back, there's like claw machines. So it's a whole multiple buildings that are just claw machines and gacha machines. The gacha machine, at least you're guaranteed to get something. So I found a gacha machine that I thought you two would appreciate. So here you go.
Wow, thank you. It is a gray little egg ball thingy here. And with just a little piece. Did you already open them?
No, but I knew what I was getting.
Oh, okay.
This one, I think, a lot of them are like, you can collect like 4 or 5 different things. This, I think, was the same.
Same thing.
But we'll
find
out when you open them if they're the same.
Okay.
Ooh, what? It's a model kit in a little egg? Holy shit.
Wow.
And it's the 89 Batmobile.
Wow, that's pretty fun.
Is yours also the 89 Batmobile?
Yeah.
Okay, so they were the same.
Very cool. So this is a 3.5-inch long quality plastic little model kit of the 89 Batmobile shoved in one of those little egg balls that pops out of a gacha machine. Is that what you call
it? Yeah, a gacha machine. And the instructions are probably in Japanese. So.
Oh, that's all right. Very cool.
Yeah.
This is awesome. Can you read any of that, Aaron?
It says...
Batman.
There's a little Batman to put inside it, too.
Takara Tomy Arts. Yeah.
There's a little Batman? Let me see.
There's a little Batman both standing and seated.
Oh, that's sweet. That's funny.
That's fantastic. Thank you.
You are welcome.
I do love little model kits. So this will be put together with care.
Awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Very fun.
Your wives might be getting a different gotcha.
The 2001 Batmobile.
Yep.
Yes.
All right. And then another thing that was super cool of the trip was just all of the food. The food was exciting and strange and delicious.
I sent you a picture of some shrimp Pringles, and Jake said he wanted some. So, Jake, you get some shrimp Pringles.
Shrimp Pringles.
And, Aaron, you get these little gummy grapes.
Oh,
thank you. Aaron, are you going to try a shrimp Pringle?
I'm not a shrimp fan.
I know. That's why. I'll save it for next
week. Save it. Yeah. These are fun.
So those are, we got the green ones and they were delicious. They have like an actual like skin to them.
Oh, weird.
But then the inside's just like a gummy.
Jelly?
So
oh,
yeah, hopefully
cool.
You like them.
Yeah.
I like that the actual flavor of these shrimp Pringles is snazzy Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
it's Mexican shrimp.
Other than Pringles, that's the only English on the can. Oh, that's awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome. Neither of those were from vending machines, but the vending machines were sick. There was like a Pokemon card vending machine. There were ice cream vending machines.
Nice.
There were like ramen noodle vending machines. One thing I didn't find, which I was very sad about, was
the underwear vending machine.
I'm sure there is one. I did not find it.
I've heard there was.
Josh would be in better shape if they had.
That's true. I'd heard for years that there were manga vending machines. I never found one.
That's surprising, really.
Yeah. There were, like, the manga stores were multi-tiered. Like, we went in, I think, one real one and then one that was mostly, like, used toys and stuff. But it was, like, four floors and each floor was themed. And there was like a floor of naughty lady things.
naughty lady manga. Okay.
Yeah, very that for gentlemen. And then, yeah. But, okay. So one of you has a nice present coming today, and the other has it coming whenever it shows up from Seattle. So that'll be a treat whenever that shows
along
up.
With Josh's underwear. Along that was with, the underwear yeah. joke.
Yes, I have lost luggage. But Jacob, we did go to an American comic book store, and in the American comic book store, they have like books that we could buy here that are in English, and then there's a wall of translated Japanese. So that's for you.
Oh, it's heavy. Well, thank you, Ben. You did not need to do anything.
Oh, I know. You're welcome.
No way. Is this what I think it is?
It looks like.
So this is a trade paperback. Year one. Wow. And year two. Holy shit.
Wow.
Yeah.
Take it out of this plastic here.
That is really cool. So it is, yeah, it's Frank Miller's year one. In Japanese. That is fantastic.
Can you read us a little?
Do you have it memorized?
Meow. It's not morning yet, kitty. I think that's Selena saying something.
Very nice.
This is awesome.
They had a couple image books. There was no Spawn. And I was like, all right. And I was like, I'm only tracking down one of these damn American comic book stores because there were not a lot of them. They were tricky to find. But I thought that getting you the first thing we read for the pod would be appropriate.
This is cool. This is really cool. Thank you. I think the cover is trying to figure out if it's original art or not.
There's a Google Translate app you can scan it. To find out. And Aaron, you have something very nice its way as well.
No problem.
So that'll be a treat for another time. So just a quick little recap of like some of the nerdy highlights.
Yeah.
The Pokemon centers there were very neat.
Pokemon Center, what do you mean by center? Is it a store? Is it a plaza?
Store.
Is it like green space? Is it legit Pokemon running around
now?
That you throw balls at them?
Basically. So the Pokemon centers, there were multiple in each city we went to. And it's a store. Like there's toys, there's kitchenware, there's earrings. It's anything you could want
all
of Pokemon.
Pokemon.
Mm-hmm. So, your children will be getting things from there. So those were cool, and I married who I married, so we went to five of them.
Hey, you know, you gotta do what you gotta do, so.
Yes.
When are you gonna be back in Japan and able to go to Pokemon centers?
You know? It was neat. Malls there are a huge thing, like, people just love shopping there, and the malls are all, like, anywhere between 3 and 8 stories tall, and one of the malls we went to had a Pokemon floor. So it had a Pokemon Center, It had a Pokemon bakery. It had a store that only sold cards. And it had a Pokemon Go station where you could go make friends and trade Pokemon Go Pokemon.
That's pretty awesome.
Bonkers.
How many Pokemon did he catch in Pokemon Go?
I was not ignoring him. He played a lot. Okay. He didn't do the center because we were at that little center station on a community day. So it was bonkers. I was like, babe, I'm fine. I can sit here. You go like trade, make some friends. He's like, no, it's okay. There's too long of a line. And they had like books with like pictures of the Pokemon so you could point if the language barrier was hard. You could like ask for different Pokemon in this book to try to trade with people. Cool. It was pretty cool.
That's neat.
Do they have unique Pokemon over there that he couldn't catch?
There were some variants. Yeah. I don't remember if he caught any Pokemon that he hadn't caught here or had traded or whatever, but
like all the stops and thing, the stamps and things that you can collect, all unique. Okay,
he got that. And then there were some Pokemon that like it's a different version, so there's like a bird that looks different, so he caught the variants.
Nice. Oh, that's cool.
So yeah, very he neat. Did that. And then the last thing I'll say is we did go to the Final Fantasy Cafe.
And how was that?
It was good. The food was actually good. He was impressed. He was, you know.
And the chocobo sandwich was everything you hoped.
The chocobo pancakes were delicious.
Fried chocobo.
They did have chicken wings. We did not. We did not.
Nashville hot chocobo.
I mean, I'd eat it. I would eat it. It was cute, and it had a fancy gift shop, and he let me buy things, and I went a little crazy, and I was like, okay, I get one of these. You got five Pokemon centers. This is fair. So it was cool.
So other than just having like art and stuff on the wall, what made it a Final Fantasy restaurant?
Well, the menu, and there were like the napkins were like themed off of a restaurant in the game. Like the napkins look like it's from the restaurant in the game. There's like a fountain with crystals and things from the games.
Okay.
In this like gorgeous room that's basically just like cases of expensive shit you can buy. But it was very, everything there was just aesthetically pleasing. Like, it was just the details. And you go in the bathroom, and the soap dispenser is like a little character from one of the company's other franchises. And
so these places weren't like Applebee's or even like, back in the heyday of Planet Hollywood, where you can just kind of go and get a reservation that day and get seated. Like, you guys had to try to get reservations weeks before you even went, right?
The Pokemon Cafe, Josh had to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning multiple days in a row to try to get a reservation. The Final Fantasy one, Final Fantasy is not big there anymore. We were able to get there a half hour early, and we were the first ones in line, but then a line did form behind us.
Okay.
And we were like, we'll just try this multiple days until we get in. And we got it the first day. Nice. But there's like a Final Fantasy 14, which is like the online one that's still happening. They have their own cafe. That one was disappointing. But that one, we had to make reservations ahead of time.
Okay. Gotcha.
So that one was popping. But I liked the cute little Chocobo one, obviously.
What was your favorite thing you ate while there?
Sushi was good. We had like a sushi chef that just made us eight things that he wanted to make us. We just paid for the eight, and he made us whatever
he
wanted.
All the stuff that like fell behind, like the weight bars, and just wipe it off.
Basically. And that was cool.
A lot of chocobo.
So many chocobos. But he, like, you don't use soy sauce there. It's rude to use soy sauce.
Really?
Well, it's not, you'll get an eye roll if you use soy sauce. Because you're not...
Like, they present you with sauces, and that's what they expect you to use? Or soy sauce is just not something they want?
There's soy sauce there, but it's not... Like, you're supposed to taste the fish.
Yeah.
And the soy sauce will cover it. It's like a voice-activated or motion-activated soy sauce, so it'll, like, laugh as you pour it, and everyone will like...
American! American! American!
Basically. And some places are different. We had some sushi that was not good that we did use soy sauce. But the places where they're making it for you in front of you, we ate it the way they presented it. Josh had a lot of sake. I got a drink called shochu, which I bought a bottle and brought home with me. It's just sweet potato, weak vodka, basically. But it's delicious. The pancakes were cool because they weren't pancakes other than the chocobo one. That was just a pancake with a chocobo stamped on it. But the traditional Japanese pancakes are like mixed with like meat and fish and egg and everything mixed up with the batter, and that was really good.
Nice.
So yeah. Yeah. 10/10. Go back. So
good. Nice. Awesome. Yeah.
Should we talk about comic books?
Sure. What did we read, Ben?
Oh, that's me. We read part two of Our World's at War, and this continues the devastation of Apocalypse, Earth, and whatever Imperial War...
War World.
War World.
War World.
Pluto.
Yeah, basically. And we got a bunch of characters. We get my beloved Young Justice members popping up in here. We get... the end results of the war, and also, you know, burying people, and what are the repercussions, what are the long lasting effects of this saga going to be for the DC universe?
Okay. All right. I read this so long ago that I will try to remember things, but that's okay. We'll go from there.
Let's talk about Young Justice, Aaron's favorite. So the Young Justice crew, Robin and Superboy and friends, are recruited by President Luthor to go to
Addis Ababa.
Yes, exactly. Or different places to help the wounded. And Superboy is mad about this, and he and Robin end up having a fight. And this fight leads to them crashing on Apocalypse of all places. Mm-hmm. And Apocalypse is not really cool with Earth at this point in the storyline. And so Batman is the little bit we get in Batman here, we get him more here than we did in the first half. He's worried about Tim because he mm-hmm. cares about his Robins. He doesn't care about other people.
Right.
And this, I appreciate this because it is a throwback to the Tower of Babel, where the Young Justice kids mm-hmm. talk to Robin about Batman's decisions to have files on everybody.
So they do mention, let me see if I can find it. So they argue about Batman having a file on all of them. Lobo, or Lil Lobo, calls Robin dumb as a rock. Robin says Batman betrayed him to Spoiler. Is there any background on that? Because I don't recall.
Coming.
Okay.
Coming, yes.
All right, so I didn't know what was going on with that part.
Yep. Okay. A few issues prior to Our World starting in Robin, there's a little bit of a snafu between him and Batman. So we'll cover that shortly. Sure.
Basically,
fine.
The general idea is Tim has been going out of his way through Young Justice, not telling his friends who he is,
yes.
To protect Bruce Wayne's right. secret. And Bruce Wayne doesn't have the same respect for him that he's been giving him. So Tim's a little over Batman's shit at this point, too.
Okay. All right, that's fair.
Well, and all of these legacy characters from their JLA mentors have found out that Batman in the Tower of Babel kind of betrayed everybody behind their back and was doing stuff.
No, he was just having contingency plans.
Yes.
I agree with both of those.
Well, much like the Justice League, Young Justice is split 50-50 almost on who is like, well, yeah, that makes sense that he would do this, you know, like if Batman or if one of the JLA guys had went rogue and Batman brought him down, you'd all be thanking him. And then the other ones are like, I can't believe that he would like sneak behind our backs and stuff like that.
And what's interesting is the split is pretty much the ones with the JLA mentors are team anti-Tim, and the ones that are original Young Justice characters are team Tim. So I always thought that was interesting because they don't have JLA mentors, so they didn't have as much, like, they didn't hear about it as much.
Hmm, that makes sense. If they don't have somebody bad-mouthing them in their ear all the time. Mm-hmm.
Daddy says this. Mommy says that.
Yeah, because Wonder Girl's going to do whatever the fuck Wonder Woman says at this point in her character growth, and Superboy's up Superman's ass and everything else. So.
Yeah, yeah. And they've tagged Arrowette back in, although she doesn't want to be a part of anything. I don't know.
Is that because the writers are just like, we have to just keep writing her in, even though she wants out? I don't know.
She is a example of... So she was a superhero for a very short time, and then she stays with the book the whole time as a like can we keep her friends with superheroes when she's trying to do her own thing? And so it's an ongoing, like, be Arrowhead again. And she's like, no, but I'll go to space with you. But, like, I'm not shooting no arrows and y'all are a lot. So that's just what she is.
Just there to complain and get her hair done.
Basically.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's Empress tagging along with them, right? Like, I know we saw her kind of floating around in the background.
Yes, she's joined the team at this point. So this is the core group. This is everyone that is going to ever be actually important in the
and
team.
Little Lobo. Oh,
okay. Little Lobo.
Yeah.
Which we'll get more of him later.
Yeah, we'll find more out about that.
So remind me again, Little Lobo came about from Sins of Our Youth. Which... And it's just Lobo de-aged.
Yeah, and that has gone on for about a year. So we've had a year and a half, I think a year and a half of, because he doesn't have his own book anymore. So Lil Lobo is the DC's Lobo for a year and a half.
And does he have Lobo's memories? He's not quite as powerful as Lobo.
I think he does. I think he has most of them, it seems like.
He calls himself, what does he call himself?
The top team.
The top team.
Instead of the main man.
And he's got all the catchphrases and everything. I love Lil Lobo. I wanted more of him. So,
and he supposedly dies here.
Yeah. He seems like he, what was it, like vaporized or like descent, something along those
by
lines.
By the
like
parademons?
Something.
Yeah.
Like they like tear him apart or like just.
Yeah, they're on Apocalypse, which is basically not a hell planet. And the groups split off. The ones that trust Robin go with Robin, and the ones that don't trust Robin sends on another mission.
Mm-hmm. And at that time, Darkseid had been playing nice in the first half of the book.
Yes.
And then Earth accidentally fires at Apocalypse when they mean to fire at the war planet, or is that correct?
So stupid.
Yeah, Earth's stupid, and Darkseid's like, that's it, I'm done, thank you! And then he just full-on attacks.
So, backtracking a little bit. So, they've been fighting Empyrex this whole time.
The stupidest character.
Yeah, they don't know how to beat him. So they devise a way that if they can crack his armor and contain the energy blast within, then he'd be gone. So Supergirl, this is a little bit important to the Superman family. Supergirl has morphed once again into a different character. Sharon is the energy something or other. There's this strange visitor.
That's not Supergirl.
Isn't it?
No, that's a separate character.
Oh, geez. Okay.
So let me give a little history on Strange Visitor.
Whoops.
So Strange Visitor is basically...
the stupidest name for a character ever?
Stupidest name, but she looks like female Blue Superman. Basically, it's what the DC Universe decided to kind of do with the Blue Superman image and powers post-Clark getting back his regular powers. So there's a few issues storyline of she shows up and she's this energy and it's confusing, but this is like the end of that. So she was a Superman family character for a short while and she's another person lost to the war.
Yeah, I mean, we have a lot of people dying here. So she sacrifices her power level to power up Superman so he can crack Empyrex's armor.
Okay.
And when that happens, Darkseid was supposed to transport through Boom Tube that energy back to the places in the galaxy that it belonged. And instead, we find out that Brainiac 13 has been hiding on Warworld, invisible, and he absorbs the planet and fires up Warworld. And in the same moment, he uses the Metropolis Lex Tower, which is powered by Brainiac technology, and fires Lex's tower at Apocalypse, breaking the truce between Earth and Apocalypse.
There's a lot going on here.
Dude, there's so much going on. And
some of it was like, this is hard to follow. Skim.
Yeah, for sure.
It was really the recaps from the other issues. So, like, there's multiple Wonder Woman issues in here, and the recaps in those issues.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought those were some of the best ones, I thought. And they filled in a lot of, like, oh, that's actually what was happening. Okay, I get it. Because they have have to recap. If you're only reading Wonder Woman and you're not reading all the Superman family stuff, you don't really know. And quite a bit of big moments here for Wonder Woman's storyline. So there's Wonder Woman 172 and 173. Her mother's dead. Mm-hmm. And then by the end of the book, they end up completely sacrificing Themyscira to stop Earth from being destroyed again. And half of the frickin' Amazons die. And yeah. Oh, no, I got my phone doing something. Oh, no. Okay, sorry.
That was weird. I was making sure I wasn't the only one hearing things.
Yeah, I heard it, but I couldn't tell if it was like outside.
Apparently, squished a button in my pocket. Sorry.
That's all right. No.
Yeah, a lot of people are dying. The casualties of this storyline actually are pretty significant.
Yeah, I think I mentioned in the last episode that the series was broken up into a few categories, and one of the months the banner on the covers was actually Casualties of War. And that was kind of exciting reading that live to be like, who are they gonna kill in each DC book that is tied to this series? So we had Lobo for Young Justice. We had Strange Visitor for one of the Superman titles. We had Steel for the other one of the
Sergeant Rock is killed off after being around for decades.
Yeah.
Lois's father.
Maxima.
Yep.
Did we have Aquaman? Did Coriander come back in this?
Yes.
Okay.
She was near the end. She was part of the Themyscira.
Stargirl.
Starfire. Yeah.
Starfire.
Okay, I don't know.
Yes. No, that is her name. I just have never heard anyone call her that.
That's what I read. They must have referenced it because I wrote that down because there's no way I would have remembered that.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, everybody calls her Corey because you don't want to say spices or seasonings.
She survived.
She did. She was part of the Themyscira initiative or whatever. Her and Donna Troy and all that.
Yes. After the Young Justice issue, there's an issue of Impulse in here where he had recently gotten new powers where he can... So his power is he's really fast, but he got this weird power where he can, like, send off these little, like, scouts, which is, like, a part of him. Uh-huh. And they... So he can basically be in two places at once. So he's so
fast.
So
the way I was kind of reading it, he's so fast that he was somewhat... It's like a time variant almost, right? He was moving so fast he could go through time. Yeah, like he could go back into time or go forward into time. I was like,
and see what was happening, and like he's looking for Steel, and then like his little side shadow thing gets killed, and that really is pretty devastating to him.
The last
part of him,
we see him kind of go comatose, right?
So that'll be dealt with. So that book didn't technically kill anyone, but it was like killing like a part of him thing.
Wait, is this the moment where he kind of like gets like serious for a while and tries to be?
You'll find out.
Okay.
So.
Well, what else? Not just because of the loss of Lil Lobo or Impulse's variant. The reason that these issues were included in the Superman trade was the fact that the Black Racer isn't taking
so stupid.
I know,
dumb name.
It's really cool idea for Death as being in this entity that
skis?
no I was getting to the negative, but the positive is this entity that travels and takes the souls and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
but the fact that it's this guy in a, you know, one of those ear flap hats and he's on skis, it's so stupid. And I gotta figure out why they decided, like, they're looking at a bunch of designs for this character, like, that's the one.
I can't imagine what was passed over. Like,
right. How drunk were those DC editors?
It's funny, Danny, but then if you're like, he's taking Steel, like, it's a serious moment and he's on skis.
Yes.
Which works in Young Justice,
he's
but doesn't necessarily work
in,
like, Superman.
In the sky.
When he's been around for a long time, this isn't a new idea of him showing up for this story. Anyways, so the reason we're following those characters, who most of the DC universe had a tie into this storyline, but why they're collected is Black Racer is taking Steel's soul or his body or whatever he has with him to Apocalypse, not to the afterlife, not to something else. He bows before the Black Racer, bows before Darkseid and calls him master, and hands over Steel, who then embodies Steel's mind or soul or whatever is left of him into this apocalyptic armor that he'd been building for Superman to fight Imperiex.
Mm-hmm.
And so is that, does Steel around in that armor for a while? I don't know.
I've never heard of that until reading this.
Oh, okay.
So probably not.
Okay.
So what kind of metal would they be using on Apocalypse? What is that?
It's not steel.
Stainless? I don't know. I'm envisioning something from like the Marvel universe, like whatever, the vibranium or something like along those lines.
Adamantium.
Something, yeah.
I'm curious, and I don't know, and I didn't want to look too much, mostly because I was reading.
last minute.
No. But eventually, Batman has like an apocalyptic armor that he uses to go and infiltrate Apocalypse.
Yeah.
And it's empowered with the different powers from the Justice League. And it kind of looks a little bit like this armor. So I'm wondering if this is maybe
a precursor.
Yeah, maybe an early genesis for that armor. That'd be kind of cool.
I think from
the Hellbat, I think is what they call him.
Oh, okay.
From a story perspective and like a deeper meaning perspective, I think the reason that Young Justice actually plays a big part here is because we get to see the adults worry for their children, and that's a big war thing. And also, like, being brought in really young, like, you know, drafting, and, like, that whole idea of that, I think, is why they're, like, some people might not like these characters, but the adults care for them, so let's put them in danger to really up the stakes, was why I feel like they were a big part here.
That's good.
We saw Superman get powered up in order to break the armor, but as they find out that Brainiac is now actually the big bad, and he's zapping all the power from Apocalypse, and he's gonna zap all of the life from Earth, and he's gonna be unbeatable. And so this whole armada and everything is trying to stop this tendril from attaching itself to Earth so that it can suck the life out of Earth. And so Superman got powered up. And he gets powered up again, and
he's like, I like Superman and his character. It just is like nothing can destroy him. He flew into the sun.
Yeah, he goes in the sun.
He goes literally into the sun.
Well, the sun is where he gets his power.
Right. I'm just like, what can? Is there anything that can stop Superman?
Feelings.
But he goes sad into the
that
sun.
His wife's dad died. He's
he
sad.
Goes into the sun to burn those feelings away.
That's true.
And he comes out a killing machine. He's ready to destroy Brainiac, and he is literally on fire. And he's like glowing orange. And he ends up. They get this big idea. Everybody teams up. They all hold hands, which is where the theme song came from,
yep,
I think.
Yeah, that's exactly where it was.
I liked it not just because of that, but I also
I
felt that
like
that song just had the vibe of like this era and this like war thing. It just felt very, it fit well.
And he shoves War World through a boom tube that they've created to send it
boom tube
back
boom
tube
in. So goofy.
Yeah, it's definitely a Jack Kirby thing. Yeah, it looks, I don't know, I like it.
I feel like, you know, those things when you were in like elementary school that you whapped together. You know what I'm talking about? Like the like they're like the colored sticks. That's just what it makes me think of when I think of these boom tubes, is these things that like get whacked together. I know that's
what
not
colored me. Sticks.
I don't know. They're like in music. They're like different tones, and you whack them together.
Like percussion sticks things.
Percussion.
I don't know.
Strings. Yeah.
Do you know that the boom tubes are helped by and being created by something called a mother box? How do you feel about that?
The mother box. It's an interesting concept, too. Yeah.
Yeah. Vaginas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
yeah, so they shove Brainiac and Impure X back through to the beginning of time and recreate the Big Bang, which spreads Brainiac out over a trillion universes and destroys or gives Imperial X whatever he wanted, which was starting things over again.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm sure there will be zero ramifications for that down the road.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
So we end with the funeral of Colonel General Lane.
Yes.
And that's all. She's sad. He feels guilty. She's kind of mad at him. Lex and her have a moment. This Lex and Lois moment having thing through time is interesting. I think I got late to the party of realizing that there had been something between them at one point, because different versions of the story have, like, they dated. Like, right. I think the animated, like, the very first episode that Lex and Lois are in the animated cartoon, they, like, reference. She's like, oh, yeah, I used to date Lex Luthor. And then it's, like, never talked about again.
Right.
So how did you guys feel about their interactions in this?
I love that Lex is trying to shoot his shot while she is emotionally damaged.
Yeah,
and he realizes, oh, well, Clark wasn't there for you in this time of need. And he realizes, oh, Superman, who everybody in the world knows that, like, Lois loves two men, right? Even though they don't realize that it's the same person.
So stupid.
But they also know that Superman didn't come to save her father, and she's having, like, there's some I think there's some subtext here that she's having issues with that as well, that Superman wasn't there to...
And she gets, like, you have to do the big picture thing, but as your significant other, I want you to be there for me. And so that's like a real life.
I never liked your father-in-law. I just got to get these in-laws out of here.
Mother-in-law next.
Not a big loss, honestly. He was an asshole, but.
You can have time with crypto. That's what you need.
Crypto.
When I originally put this into the timeline, it was a lot to highlight portions of President Lex's tenure in the presidency. What did you guys think of his overall involvement in the story?
Well, he gets a baby at the end. His daughter is, like, brought back to him when the bangs Superman gives him back to be like, you can try again with your kid. Here she is.
Yeah, don't turn this one into Brainiac.
Right. Basically.
Yep.
I mean, I think Lex, like, apart from trying to make deals with Brainiac and side deals, I mean, he kind of led as well as I think he could have led,
which I think is genius, because
I kept waiting for his, like, evil plot line in there, and it didn't come, where he's actually like, no, I'm really trying to save Earth and everybody here, even though it's probably mostly my fault, but
is the hero to himself, like, he really thinks he's the hero, so letting him do well is exciting for future stories, because he can always reference, well, I saved the world, and I don't know. I liked Lex here. I think Lex is good at the forefront, whereas I feel some Batman villains, since this is a Batman pod, do better in small doses. I like big Lex storylines.
Fair.
Yeah, like, he's always there, and you just can't pin it on him enough to actually get rid of him. Like, obviously, when the Joker or Scarecrow or Bane make a move, they leave a calling card and they make a big splash about it. But Lex, his machinations of power and everything, he's always going to be one step ahead of Superman. And I really liked how he was playing both sides, but with the trajectory of solving the problem. So he was bringing in the good guys, he was bringing in the bad guys, he was having the secret conversations in private with his daughter, who was the emissary for Brainiac. So he's got his fingers in everything, like Lex should, but all of them are trying to solve the problem. He's not trying to steal the power for himself here. He already did that.
Right.
It kind of shot him in the foot. Yeah. So
true. Yeah. Any other thoughts on this book?
We got Batman for a page.
Yeah, he was in here briefly, doing his thing.
Freaking out about Tim, right? Isn't he basically like...
And the kids finally, they made their way back to Earth from Apocalypse at the end, and I think we'll find out how that happened.
In Impulse's spaceship. Yep.
In a couple episodes, maybe. We'll find that out.
Atlantis is still missing, along with Aquaman. Yeah.
Reviews?
But let me ask you something. What do you think of this? Say it's
all right. That was terrible. Right. Horrendous. I'm offended. I'm it's appalled. All right.
That was
awesome. It's all right.
Whoa, yes.
It's yes.
All right. No! I'm really glad I read it. It was a lot. It was a lot, but it's a story I've always known of, and I had read the issues that dealt with my specific characters years ago, and whenever I reread those books, so it was good for me to get to read The whole thing, and I enjoy Superman books. Is it great? It's hit or miss, like all Superman stories. It's hit or miss with the art. It's hit or miss with the continuity within itself, where it's like, wait, where is he? What's he doing? But overall, I'm really glad I read it.
I enjoyed it overall, like you said. I think there were a lot of characters, a lot of storylines, but I think we've read some things where there's been too many of that, and this, I think it was balanced a little better, where it wasn't quite as troublesome to play along, if that makes sense. But I think if you're reading along, it's probably important to know what's going on with all this, and if you like Superman stories, it's pretty decent. Not a Batman story by any stretch, but
no.
Yeah, I think as a big picture, it was good. I think there are a lot of issues to chew on here, and some definitely better than others. I didn't care for the continued presidential speech theme.
Yeah, no, some of it was dumb.
I like what they were doing there, but I'll tell you, by like after the second one, I didn't read the speeches anymore.
No, I mean, they could have been cut down. Like, the whole thing could have been cut down by like a third.
I think I agree, but I don't know what I would take out, because every time I was like, this issue doesn't need to be here, something pretty substantial would happen in it. I'm like, okay, well, I know why this is part of the collection now.
Maybe just short up. Like, I know issues have certain lengths and they're trying to make that, so maybe you know, combine a couple to one where it's a little bit more streamlined.
And it may not have a lot to do with Batman himself, but I think it will have a big impact on his current Robin for a while. And that is important too, because the Batman family is pretty predominant in this era of Batman. So what they are doing outside of the regular Batman titles does kind of drive all of their character development for a while.
Yeah, that's kind of wild. You put this in here and we're like, huh, but then it's like, oh wait, this is like, is a Superman book, but it's actually really important to Tim's story. So that's very strange how that happened.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
What's next, Jake?
Jesus, I did not prepare for that at all. Next.
Well, I'll tell you what's next.
Okay, great, thanks.
We're doing our 5th anniversary special episode.
Ooh.
5 years of this fucking nonsense. So I have put together some things for you, and I hope it'll be fun. So we'll go from there next week.
I'm excited.
Yay!
So yeah, what we're reading next, who knows? We'll come up with that.
So we'll tell you next week.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Aaron, what did we learn?
It's that time again.
To do another one of our cute little skits?
No, it's time to learn the day's lesson. And to find out what it is, we turn to the Wheel of
Batman.
Wheel of
Batman.
Turn, turn, turn. Tell us the lesson that we should learn.
Well, we learn many things. The only things that can stop Superman are feelings and sexy manga. I'm pretty sure that would stop him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Fair. For the Brotherhood of Batman, I'm Ben.
I don't know what to say to that.
Sunshine into Gotham and the baby brother.
I'm Aaron. I'm the oldest out of us. I'll clean this up. Thanks for listening.
And I'm Jake. We'll talk to you guys soon. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Hopes have been his plans to see.